Welcome to Dial the Dork, everyone. My name is Irv Katz. I am live in my basement, joined tonight by Dork Almighty Matt Menard. Dork Almighty.
Good evening.
That was a very staid, demure introduction.
Vincent Vega.
Vincent Vega style.
Cheers, mate. What's going on?
So here we are. Here we are. Nothing, man. Absolutely.
You mean nothing? I mean, I was dying on the couch and then managed to be, you know, snowed in at the same time, which was good timing. But I have to imagine that 8 feet of snow landed in front of your house and you had to deal with that in some way.
Well, I had to deal with it in some way because, first of all, my sister-in-law was flying into town.
Bad timing.
Just a little. Her plane was landing on Friday at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Oh, she probably... Wait, 3:30? Did she make it in just ahead of the landing as the snow was piling up?
Well, this is a very interesting question. She was flying in from... her connection from... She was flying in from Raleigh-Durham, okay? But her connection was in Philadelphia, so she flew to Philadelphia.
Okay.
And then flew to Cleveland. In Philadelphia, they were stopped on the...
Tarmac?
Well, I mean, they were, you know, in taxi, like, in the queue.
Yeah, that's on the tarmac.
Okay, they're sitting on the tarmac, and we get a call. She calls her husband. He calls us, tell that they're, you know, they don't know what's happening, but they're just sitting there.
Okay. I hate it when they don't tell you anything.
Well, right.
You sit there sweat in this cramped compartment for fucking 45 minutes, and they're like...
We're going to be hanging out here for a while. Why don't you all just diddle yourselves for a bit and
try not to get angry.
And don't ask for any free drinks or free food.
We have no water. We have no crackers.
Anyway. So there she is. When all of a sudden the pilot says, all right, everyone, strap in. We're going.
Well, is this an executive decision? Balls to the wall?
I don't know. I mean, look, I drove, you know... Let's put it this way. The weather was very bad in Cleveland at that point. Okay? We hadn't had all this accumulation yet.
But it
was really bad. I did not go faster than 25 miles an hour from here to the airport. So I thought I was going to be, like, you know, crazy late. Turns out I end up beating her there by 10 or 15 minutes.
Oh, good timing.
Well, yeah. But she ends up, the pilot at like 3:10 or something says, we're going. She was supposed to land here at like 3:15. Initially. So they're still on the tarmac in Philadelphia at like almost quarter after 3.
Yeah.
When they're supposed to be landing already. It's not a long flight or anything, but hour and a half. But
yeah, barely.
So he says, we're going. And they're like, okay. So they take off. They're in the air. They come in. And they land.
All right.
And as I'm looking, and she flew as U.S. Air or like a sub... You know,
one of their connecting partners or something.
It was either
like
Air
that.
Wisconsin or Chautauqua Airlines. I'm not kidding.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Now, every other incoming flight on U.S. Air until later that night, until like 10 o'clock that night, is either delayed or canceled. Every outgoing flight is either delayed or canceled.
Yeah.
As I'm standing around the U.S. Air gate trying to find out information about my sister-in-law's plane, I hear people going like, fuck, they just canceled our flight, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking, wow, this is intense. Well, she lands. You know, we meet at baggage claim or wherever. And on the way to the car, she says that apparently this was, like today, that, or, you know, that day, Friday, the pilot was retiring. This was his last day. And he basically bullied the tower into letting him go.
Nice.
He says, you are not keeping me here. I'm going home. We're going.
I'm kicking my shoes off. This is it.
Yeah, this is my last day. Fuck you. We're going.
Nice.
So that's how because like flights all around that flight were canceled, delayed, rerouted, whatever.
There's some kind of weird fate going on with your
Here she comes. And, you know, Friday night, Saturday morning, the onslaught.
Yeah.
I mean,
the
really.
The heavens opened up.
Really, really bad. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So luckily, you know, we weren't going anywhere or doing anything. We were just sitting around here chilling, family, having a good time. Well, okay, so now her flight is Sunday morning. So I'm out in the street at 8:30 in the morning, shoveling. It takes me, let's see. Oh, wait, that's not even the half of it. Saturday, I forgot. Saturday, which was Friday night, Saturday morning was when it all really, really,
right.
On a lot of it came down. Saturday, though, I have tickets to the Cavs versus the Pacers.
Oh.
At the Q. Well, now, I live very close to the Q.
Stone's throw.
I could throw an Asus. What's that little EPC?
Oh, yeah,
I could throw an Asus EPC nice. From here to there in two skips.
It's a hell of a discus shot.
All right. Now, it takes me. No, look, I go outside. The game is at 1. I go outside at 11:30. I walk into the queue at 1:05.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, my God.
Because it took over an hour to dig out my car. And, I mean, it took about, I don't know, 45, 50 minutes to dig out my car, I guess. It took 20 minutes or so to drive to the queue and park. Oh, and incidentally, and then walk to, you know, and then
right,
walk to
right,
the queue.
Right, right.
I'm thinking to myself, I'll just go park in Tower City, but I'm not going to drive down into the flats and go to the back. I'm not going down that hill.
That would be a disaster.
It'd be a dumb thing to do.
Yeah.
I could be stuck down there.
You could have, like, slid all the way to the river, basically.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
So I'm going to I take...
Ontario?
No. I take Abbey Avenue.
Okay.
To the Carnegie Bridge.
To the bridge,
I take
right.
the bridge, which right. I figured the bridge would be, you know, plowed.
Was it?
It was.
Okay, all right.
So, I don't know why I figured that. I just did.
Yeah, it is one of the major connectors east-west. That one.
Emergency vehicles and so forth.
Well, you know, I've always been curious, since I don't live down here, which bridges get plowed first.
Well, they both seem to be plowed, because I took the other one home later.
Oh, well,
anyway, I go over the bridge. I drive down Ontario. I make a left on Huron, you know, behind
yep,
Tower City.
Behind Tower City.
And I'm like, oh, crap. I don't have any cash. I can't go park in Tower City. So I'm like, well, this is no big deal because when I was done shoveling, I threw the shovel in the back seat.
Oh.
And I drove off.
Okay.
So I said, well, there's a nice parking spot in the middle of a snowbank. So I just plowed into it. Parked. People are looking at me like I'm insane.
Because you are.
Because I am. I'm like 4 feet away from the curb. Oh, like not even close. I walk to the queue. I watch the game. The Cavs are destroying the Pacers.
Yeah, I was going to say, they won.
Then they play like shit down the stretch. The Pacers take a 17-point lead all the way down to 4. And then the Cavs are like turn the switch and cruise the rest of the way to an easy win. Now, I'm done. I go back outside. I go over to my car. Take 20 or 30 minutes to dig it out. I totally had to dig it out. I was stuck, completely stuck. I dig the car out, and I go home. Great.
That's
well,
fantastic.
But and it's snowing like the like a bitch throughout the game.
Uh-huh.
So the roads were like as bad as they were on the way there. They were even worse on the way back. And
I wonder if you made the news. I remember seeing some poor schmuck, you know, stuck in the digging himself out of
wouldn't
the,
be the first
the
time.
Bank.
Wouldn't be the first time I've made the local news.
But this is very true.
If you've ever seen my Clarence Thomas screed on YouTube.
Who the hell came up with this screed word? I had to actually Google it to figure out what the hell it meant.
It's a word.
Obviously now. I had not.
Do you know the etymology?
I had not heard that word prior to its usage the other day when I was accused of about to be getting on my soapbox.
Well, it,
which I suppose we should probably talk about at some point tonight.
A screed is a long, very straight board used for striking off concrete.
Yeah, that was the first definition I came across.
A concrete floor surface.
You got to let go way the hell
down. A layer of mortar laid over a concrete floor. I mean, it's obvious why that would be used to describe a long rant of an email.
Right.
Or Matt on his soapbox. Okay, here we go. A long, monotonous harangue.
A long
piece of writing, an accurately leveled strip of material placed on a wall or... Oh, okay, right, we knew that one.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to the wonderful WordNet over at Princeton. WordNet.princeton.edu.
Well, that's the WiWow today, by the way, folks. You just missed it. Today's WiWow of the week.
WordNet.princeton.edu, although I'm looking for the...
Use your Ivy League colleges when possible, people.
I'm looking for the... direct hypernym. Yeah, see, I'm not. What I'm not seeing though is the etymology. I don't know where the word came from. You know,
I think you'd have to go to dictionary.com to get that.
Well, maybe. Should I?
Not particularly. I mean, 9 out of 10 definitions on define colon space screed on Google were some strip of material used.
That would be dictionary.reference.com.
Concrete or plaster or basically as a strip of material that levels things up.
Okay.
Instead of the long, monotonous harangue.
Right. Well,
and is being on a soapbox really a harangue?
Looks like the origin is somewhere in like the late 13th century or early 14th century Middle English. Screed or shred. Is a torn fragment. In Scottish, it's a tear or rip, or a drinking bout.
I like that last one.
So I don't know. I don't know how. Screed is one of those very interesting words that seems to have all kinds of different meanings: a long speech, a concrete leveler, a drinking binge. I mean,
it's a universal term.
It's not a universal term. It's a word that's probably almost. been misused enough. To take on a whole new, either that or three similar sounding words. Like you have like Scottish, they're like, you've got a screed on your shirt or whatever. And then, or they're like, actually like, where have you been? Where have you been, Miles? I've been on a screed, Who knows what he was saying, right? And in the meantime, down in England, a screed is, is like, sir, when you've reached the end of your screed, you might give the rest of us a chance to, whatever. So you got, and somewhere the twain, they met. So they met somewhere along the way, and they screed and screed are the same word. So someone's making a dictionary, and they're like, okay, well, we got to do screed. You got any other definitions for screed? And someone's like, yeah, I was up in Scotland, and everyone said, let's go on a screed, and then we just got blasted, whatever.
And then it came to America and became a work term.
Who the hell knows? Who gives a shit? Anyway. So I drive home.
In a screed.
In a screed. And I take the other bridge, the Detroit
Superior
Bridge. Make a left on West 25th,
Classy old angle.
Take that basically to Loran, so I'm making a big loop. And I got to take that over to, get over to Abbey.
Right.
Go home. I make it home okay.
All right.
So the next morning, I'm back outside at 8, shoveling. Because when I parked the car, I didn't, clear out everything. I just cleared out enough to get the car out.
Right.
So now I'm stuck again.
Right. What?
but our street hasn't been plowed yet, mind you. Our street has not been plowed. Our street is one of the last streets to get plowed in the neighborhood.
I think mine didn't get plowed until sometime Sunday from Friday.
What?
Because, quite frankly, and since I was sick, I wasn't out there shoveling. My tenant and her friend shoveled the driveway. They did a
Indeed.
Terrible job.
Shoveling?
Yeah.
Who? What?
Yeah, they did a terrible job.
Your driveway?
Yeah.
Who shoveled your driveway?
My tenant and her friend.
Why?
Because I wasn't getting off of my sick-ass couch to get down there and shovel the driveway.
Oh, and they did a bad job.
Yeah. They basically scraped off, the top 6 inches or so.
And left
before
the ice. Left
the ice.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm out there digging the car out.
Digging the car.
Okay. take her to the airport. All is well. Airport's open.
Yep.
Flights are on time.
They hired snow melters. I read it in the paper today. Enough.
Hired?
Yeah, rented, hired, whatever you want. You know, since we're screeding stuff.
What's a snow melter?
A snow melter. It looks like a cargo box container with a white dragon on the side and the words snow melter.
And it just produces a shitload of heat straight
magical
down?
Magical text.
Just makes a lot of heat straight
According
down?
According to the article, it
air?
It melts with heat
yeah.
up to 30 dump truck loads of snow an hour, resulting in 26,100 gallons of water hourly.
This is just something you put on the back of a truck and drag over the thing, or
look to be one of those things that you know like, goes on one of those flatbed trailer type deal.
Here's something for you. Yeah. Here's something for you.
Yeah,
I think this would have been better.
Okay,
a fleet of runway like Roombas, basically, constantly running around all over the place during the snow, constantly scraping.
They might get lost.
I like run over by planes.
Possibly.
You should be able to hit a button, though, and they all turn left and just go off to the edge of the runway.
I can see the research now. Herd behavior in Roombas.
Herd behavior. Shut up. All right, now.
Hey, ESPN is going to be carrying BattleBots again.
Oh, really?
Seriously.
Okay. Well, that's nerd-worthy. Geek-worthy. Okay, so anyway, take her to the airport. Roads are fine, really. Except for my street, but roads are fine. Airport's fine. Come home, slam the car back into the muck, and I go inside.
Well done.
Okay. It keeps on snowing. More snow. The next day is Monday, and my wife has to go to work. I go outside. They plowed.
Effectively sealing the gates of
my
Moria.
My car is completely and utterly encased in very hard ice type substance. Okay. So I go out there and I shovel and I get the car out and Dory goes to work. Comes home.
You're such a good
parks
husband.
Somewhere else. You know. Parks yeah. somewhere else.
Nice.
I take the car, I go to work, I come home, I put the car in where I had shoveled, and I'm in for the night. This morning, it snowed a little bit more, so they plowed again. And all the stuff that I had shoveled out into the street or whatever just got plowed right back in front of the car. And Dory, though, doesn't say anything. She just, like, backs up and then gets the car, like, hopelessly frickin' stuck in hard, hard, hard ice. So I had to go out there with a basically, like, a spade.
Pickaxe?
Well, like a metal... like a gardening, you know, shovel, and I'm just like, I'm chip-chopping ice.
That's rough.
Like really hard, not ice, but like, you know, really, really hard snow. And get her out of there. So, and then later today, after that, I had to get our station wagon out, which had been sitting there the entire time.
Oh, this was it?
So that had,
I didn't realize
that had 3 feet
were...
of snow around it on three sides.
You know what? We need to market home flamethrowers for the purpose of
snow
removal.
Well, you know, here's what I thought about. I'm like thinking to myself, there's got to be a better way, you know, especially around cars. I'm thinking like maybe I come out with bucket after bucket after bucket of hot tap water.
Yeah, I think
I'm just going to make a lot of ice.
Yeah, I think
in the end.
Yeah.
You're just screwed. And the really what you do is you try to shovel as little as possible. You're just getting the car out. We'll worry about the area later.
I don't know, man. You know what pisses me off is that I understand in Tremont that there's no parking. And people have to park their cars somewhere.
Well, no,
here.
I mean, almost everyone has driveways except me.
And that's my point. So my neighborhood, everybody has driveways.
Yeah.
There's no houses like yours over there. And still people insist on parking on the goddamn streets. So when the plow does come by, A, it seals 20 people in down the street.
It's a museum of cars.
It's a museum of cars. But B, they can't even plow the whole street properly, so those of us who are trying to get in and out of driveways are like navigating dunes of snowplow detritus.
Detritus?
Detritus.
Let's find out just how that's pronounced. Shall we?
Well, we seem to be doing some
I think it's detritus, but...
Detritus?
Detritus? I don't think it's detritus. I really don't. Detritus.
Detritus?
Detritus. Rock in small particles or other material worn or broken away from a mass, as by the action of water or glacial ice, any disintegrated material, debris.
And that was definitely some glacial ice that that hit Cleveland this past weekend.
It's pretty rough. Detritus. Detritus.
Detritus.
Detritus.
Dequartus.
I think they should rename the city up north Detroitus. Because it's just
it is
debris from the auto industry.
And from glacial ices.
No, this is a glacial area.
It is.
I mean, the Great Lakes are just like puddles.
Right. They were carved out eons ago.
They're huge glacier puddles. And they're glacial disappearing.
Glacial remains.
And they're disappearing.
And they are. They're shrinking. It's a sad thing.
I haven't heard much about Lake Erie. I know that Lake Superior is like 6 inches lower, maybe, or something.
Lake Erie's been like a couple feet low for the last few years.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm. Interesting.
You live like a stone's throw from Edgewater. Do you not ever go there?
No.
Oh, what?
Is the beach bigger now?
Yes.
Okay. That was kind of how the weather affected me, personally.
Did you...
I got screwed.
Lose any of your clients get lose power or anything like that?
We had a few minor issues.
Yeah.
We had a few minor issues. I recently had a client who, you'll like this. Let's see. How do I put this? They wanted to replace their wireless access point.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Straightforward.
What they had before was literally just an access point, a G access point. What they bought was a fancy schmancy N router, which they attempted to use as such, except they shouldn't have used it as a router. I mean, they plugged in the cord from the wall, into the WAN port.
Okay.
Instead of putting it on one of the LAN ports.
Right.
Okay. So they plug it into the WAN port, and then they're obviously having trouble. They're having some trouble, but actually, the funny thing is they hadn't even tried to connect to it yet to see if it was going to make give them an internet. It would have actually worked probably for an internet connection.
Really?
Yeah, because by default, they're just set up to do DHCP because, out of a cable modem.
Right, agreed.
So it would have taken DHCP from what they already had, which was actually a Windows server and a Cisco PIX firewall
routing would have worked then.
And a Netopia DSL modem router.
Okay.
So you got the DSL modem router with the PIX behind that, and then the server behind that performing DHCP for the local LAN. So it would have taken an address from the server and produced...
It would have hopped it out.
A double
natted,
thing. But they would have had a hard time... They may have had a hard time reaching their domain.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, having said all of that, they are confronted by the initial configuration screen. They're like trying to set up the, they haven't connected it yet to the network. They've connected to it individually with a computer.
Oh, okay.
And they're looking at the configuration screen and they're like, oh, we have DSL. So they put in DSL and they're like, crap, we don't know what the password is for the DSL account.
Mm-hmm.
So they call AT&T and they're like, hey, what's our password? Like, well, we can't tell you, but we can just reset it.
Right.
So they reset it.
Yeah.
Well, that broke the Netopia.
That broke the Netopia, exactly.
So here I come. I'm like, well, okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
What's the login information for the Netopia?
I don't know.
Who set it up? I don't know. Oh. Okay. So I had to take it back to factory defaults. And then I had to be on the phone with AT&T for quite a long time until we found someone who knew how to configure the Netopia router. It's still a supported product, but barely.
Wow.
So it took a while, but I really had to be firm with a young man from Bangladesh.
Good for you.
Or Bangalore, who was like...
They're both areas.
He's like, sir, if you'll just wait a minute, I need to document the case, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm not trying to make fun. I'm just saying, like, this is what I'm hearing over the phone. I don't have any problem talking to those guys. I got nothing against them, okay? You know... And most of the time,
just speak your piece. We know you're not
time,
a racist.
I don't know why I did
Russ.
The voice. It was a cheap shot. Okay, I don't know why I did it. Anyway, this kid.
It's entertaining. This is an entertainment show.
So this kid, you know, checked. In between bites of
sometimes
palak paneer. No, I don't know what he's eating. Anyway,
palak paneer is damn good stuff.
Oh, it's great.
That's tasty.
In
stuff.
Between,
hey, you know they opened up a new restaurant on Lee, the Anatolia Cafe. You ever been over there?
Negative.
It's supposed to be. Turkish. Yeah.
Interesting.
It used to be on Cedar.
Should have some good flatbread, right?
Well, I didn't know what Turkish food. That's what I was going to ask you if
chicken?
You had any ideas.
I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. Hit the Google for that. I've heard
Turkish cuisine. Well, now the only time I ever dined on Turkish was when I hooked up with this girl who was half Turkish, half Lebanese. And,
good combination.
And I went down on her.
Oh.
Twice.
Well,
no,
once. Turkish and Lebanese.
Yeah, I suppose.
Very good.
Turkish cuisine. There's an entry in the Wikipedia. Go figure.
Did you see that that some people in Wikipedia want to sell articles, ad space on wiki pages? How would you feel about that?
What do you mean sell ad space?
Meaning that, like, you know... a million other websites out there, you'd have big square areas where there were advertisements. I don't know what kind of targeted
Who's making the money?
Wikipedia.
Fine. You know, I thought for a second you meant like someone could actually own an article and make revenue off of it.
Oh, no. I mean, the point was that I guess Wiki's trying to figure out how to, you know, sustain itself.
If there were like Google AdWord type, AdSense, whatever, ads down the side, I wouldn't care. It wouldn't take away from the Wikipedia from me.
You don't think?
No. Why do I care?
Well, no. I mean, you don't think it would take away from its, you know, even small modicum of, you know, respectability in, you know, reference type material by selling ad space on its pages? And how are they going to target the ads? I mean,
Turkish restaurant.
Well, there you go. But for what area?
Turkish restaurant.
Turkish restaurant.
Turkish Restaurant Association of America. The TRAA. Anyway,
if they do better than...
So it looks like breakfast is a rather savory event. Cheese, butter, olives, eggs, tomatoes, green peppers, a jam.
Tasty.
Honey, sausage, soup.
Soup.
A common Turkish specialty for breakfast is called menemen, which is prepared with roasted tomatoes, peppers, olive oil, and eggs, black tea. Coffee has affected Turkish culture so much that Turkish word for breakfast is kahvaltı, literally meaning before coffee.
Well, how about that?
Kaf is coffee and altı is before. Kahvaltı.
Sounds good. Like
eating out, although fast food is gaining popularity in Turkey. Let's see.
Don't do that.
Sorry. frequently used ingredients, meat, eggplants, green peppers, onions, garlic, lentils, beans, tomatoes, nuts.
What are they, vegetarian?
I just said meat. The first thing I said was meat.
But what kind?
You moron. Simit is a circular bread with sesame seeds, eggplant, meat. Milk-fed lambs, the most popular source of meat.
Sheeps.
Kuzu savirme, I don't know if I, chavirme, I don't know, meaning the cooking of the milk-fed lamb by turning it above fire.
That sounds like, a lot like barbecue.
I guess it just doesn't happen very much anymore. Pilaf is a big deal.
I didn't know pilaf was Turkish.
I don't know if it is, but yogurt is huge.
Well, that's typical though.
Yogurt, cheese, soup, all kind of soup, bread, cornbread, tandoor bread, which could be similar to tandoor, pastries, sweet pastries, pilaf, pasta, a lot of vegetables, eggs, salads, and appetizers, metze, kakik, which is the like the like cucumber and yogurt, like cucumber with yogurt, dried mint, and olive oil, like you might have on a gyro.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Dolmades or dolma, stuffed grape leaves.
I was going to say,
kebabs. Shish kebab, that's
all right.
The big thing.
All right, I'm in.
Shish kebab.
I'm sold. Now
are
I'm
we going?
Sold. Oh, yeah, we're going.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Anatolia Cafe.
Fish, grilled or cooked slowly. By the Bugulama method, is fish with lemon and parsley covered while cooking so it will be cooked with steam.
Huh.
And desserts, of course, baklava, Turkish delight, Turkish taffy, perhaps. alcoholic beverages, Rocky.
Oh, R-A-K-I.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard about that. Never had it, though.
Pinot Noir.
Pinot Noir.
Kefir, which is some sort of drink. Salty yogurt drink is called Iron.
I thought that was called Yoo-Hoo.
I haven't had a Yoo-Hoo in forever.
I've never had. Thank you, God.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
So,
big guy.
Anyway.
Sup.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, we were talking about, you said Turkish food, and I was talking about something else, motherfucker.
That's okay.
What was it?
I have no idea. We were rambling.
No, we weren't. I was going somewhere. Good.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about double and triple natting in Netopia the guy from Bangalore.
Oh, right.
The Bangaloid.
Palak Paneer.
Palak Paneer.
Anyway, look, those guys are fine. Okay, they do a good job. However,
all right.
It didn't matter if he was speaking.
We approve of Bangaloids.
He was speaking in an Indian English accent or if he was speaking plain old-fashioned American English. Okay,
right.
With no discernible accent. It didn't matter because he was a level one or tier one or whatever tech, and he couldn't do what I needed to do.
Right.
Not to mention the fact that before the client called me, they were on the phone with AT&T, and AT&T said, just go to Best Buy and get a modem.
Yeah.
No.
Why not?
Because that modem cannot deliver a range of IP addresses, which they have. They have the static IP and a range. That's right.
That Netopia has multiple IPs assigned to it?
The Netopia can handle a subnet mask of, you know, you give it an address and you give it like the subnet mask of like 255.255.255.248 or 249, and it will take that whole, you know, range starting with the address, you know, at the bottom or whatever, and yeah.
This is phenomenal. I did not know
the little modem like I have up there, the little speed stream, cannot do that. It gives you one address, period.
Right.
So here's the problem. The problem is that their gateway had, you know, was one address, and here's the problem is their PICs had their static IP address in it, which is connected up to their, you know, A records and MX records and everything else. So I had to get it back to where that was. I was not going to go through.
Okay. Yeah.
They had already been down for almost 24 hours at that point anyway.
Nice.
So. And it was funny, too, because they called to have the password changed.
Yeah.
And they changed the password. But the internet didn't go down at that point. It was only like 48 hours later over the weekend when I guess maybe there was a little disconnection or something and I had to re-authenticate and it couldn't.
Yeah, I was going to say it wouldn't do that until I had to re-up its lease probably.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, so we got into a whole, it was a whole series of things. I finally got it all sorted out, got the Netopia going, everything was fixed and everyone's happy.
Good job.
I racked up some nice emergency rate work too.
Well,
that was good.
That never hurt.
That was a good thing. Good thing.
So what's the current modems that can handle that kind of range behavior? Do you know?
I don't know, but that one can.
How did you know that Netopia could?
Because it was doing it beforehand.
Well, I know because it was
that's
doing
how
it
I knew.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
I just assumed that it could because it was before.
Okay.
But I noticed, because I've worked with the PIX before,
yeah.
And you assign the outside interface an address.
Right.
Okay. And usually that address is brought to it through a router of some kind.
Right.
Which is what the Netopia was performing.
Should be doing. Right.
Yeah. So...
Actually, why didn't you? I mean, they should just be. If they've got a PIX, they should be just bridging with the Netopia and let the PIX handle all that shit.
Well, that's actually what they're doing, sort of. They're not doing any NATing with the Netopia.
Well, then the Netopia's not doing that block bullshit.
It is. Because the Netopia. It turns out that the Netopia's address was a couple, you know, up higher.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's how it's set up.
I understand.
When you get the static IP address from AT&T, you get like a range of mm-hmm. 6 to 10 IP addresses. Whoever set them up, hey, you know what? They set them up with a suite. You know what? And they have the opportunity to grow if they wanted to you know have something else you sure. know translated. You know that PIX can do a lot.
Yeah, very much so.
So you know, whatever. Anyway,
you know what we need to do.
What?
We need to put like a folded up towel or a piece of felt or something underneath the mixing board.
Why?
Because anytime either one of us moves cords on the table, yeah. I can actually hear it through the.
Are you sure
it's
not? It's because of this microphone here.
Oh, that I don't know.
Well, it could just be because of these microphones here.
Turn those like down, man.
All right, turn them down. Well, do you know which one they are?
Speak. Keep speaking.
Which one is it?
Nope, we're good. Me and you are still good.
So now every time I move the... Now, can you hear that now?
Not through the... I can still hear that.
Well, that's because you're moving your microphone cable. You can hear that?
It's not as bad anymore. Shut up.
Fuck you.
Fuck off, bitch.
The goddamn mixing board's not a microphone, you fucking asshole.
Yeah, okay. It's picking up vibrations or something, man.
Fuck you. Oh, and
dude.
I want to make sure everyone knows that we also have a third cast member here today, Johnny Monitor. Johnny Monitor is a 19-inch NEC monitor that I'm too lazy to pick up and move.
I thought this
it weighs a ton.
Isn't this is not the one that's going to Tim Wurzel in Detroit?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
Although he can have it. He could have two. Oh, my God. Imagine having two
he
of
could
those.
Have dual display.
Dual 19-inch
Whoa.
CRT displays. Oh, strong desk.
All right. So this is a good segue then to Tim's the rant, the harangue from
screed?
Last week, the screed from last week.
But before we do that,
what
are you going to the Heroes Happen Here, the Microsoft event?
No,
on Thursday.
No.
You know that you get a free copy of Windows Server 2008. Visual Studio, and you get like a bunch of shit.
I am aware of that.
I'm going.
I'm glad you're
I hope.
Going. I want you to go.
I'm going to go in. I'm going to see what I have to do to get my software. I'm going to get the hell out.
That's what you should do. In fact, you should try to get two pieces of software.
Yeah, I got to find a babysitter for Frankie, though. Or should I bring him?
Put him in. Don't you have one of those.
Baby Bjorn?
Is that what it's called?
Yes.
A baby sack?
Baby Bjorn.
Baby Bjorn.
Because that's the name of the... Baby Bjorn is a new one in the vein of Kleenex, Q-tip, Vaseline, Xerox, Jell-O.
So, trademark names that have become genericized.
I mean, you wouldn't say,
Hefty.
Pass me a cotton swab or a facial tissue.
No. And most people say, "Give me a Hefty bag." Don't
or
they don't say,
a
"Give
Ziploc.
Me a yeah or a Ziploc."
A Ziploc
yeah.
bag,
uh-huh.
You know.
Give me a Glad bag.
Give me a Tupperware.
Yeah, exactly.
A Glad bag. Yeah, but not. You really would say Ziploc bag.
Depends.
I wouldn't say Hefty bag. I say trash bag.
I've heard it. You know, all the different ways.
Give me one of those 55-gallon Lawn and Leaf bags. Those are so great. They're so long, and I'm making like a leaf sausage.
They never stay open right, though, for you to get the crap inside.
Oh, I've got something else. I've got something else I want to bitch about.
Okay. You know what really grinds my gears?
You know what really grinds my gears? I don't have a Peter Griffin.
That was actually not a bad Peter Griffin.
Peter Griffin. You know what grinds my gears?
All right, that was a little bit too New York. But you were close.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
Rich Little, we are not.
Stewie. I wish I could do a Stewie. Wish I could.
Vile and detestable woman.
That wasn't even... That was just Matt. Stewie's other alter ego, Matt Menard.
Great.
No, okay, so I've got some work that I've been doing for a company here in town. I'm a subcontractor.
Or is this the dead people company? No? No.
Don't.
Okay.
No,
okay.
No. I'm not. No, not them. We haven't done anything for them in quite some time.
That's
which is good.
Bad.
It's good. We've ironed out all their issues, and they've got a good IT department down in Florida. So no, that's good over there. No, what I'm talking about is there's a local company here that is basically like what they do is like kind of like project management, and they bring in people to work on projects. Some people work for them and are paid by them. Some people work for themselves and, you know, get like a 1099 or something. And that would be like, I'd be one of those people.
Okay.
So like here, you know, and I've got a couple of clients now that, you know, are, you know, through them that I just do all the work for.
Okay.
So whenever something comes in, they're like, here you go.
Nice.
It's okay. It's okay. I, you know, but anyway, it's hard because they have to make a profit. So I don't get to charge what I'd normally charge.
Oh.
But I don't have to go find the work either.
It's always nice.
Yeah. I don't have to. But payment is usually extremely slow.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's like 60 days.
That's a long time.
Minimum.
Should be net 30.
Well, they have to get paid first.
So?
So that's why I don't really like doing this work, and I'm probably not going to do it anymore. I'm trying to get one client to just move off of the platform we've done and just go away and move on.
Okay.
Because what we're doing is not going to scale.
Okay.
And it's not, it hasn't been all that lucrative anyway. And this other one, I don't even know what we're going to do with this, because here's what happened. This is the simplest little website. Okay, it is so simple. It's just so simple and nothing. But the numbskulls who built it initially built it in .NET and built the shit out of it. They built the shit out of it.
I'm confused.
Okay, like we're talking about an incredibly simple website. You have users who register. You have you're basically matching up like customers and businesses to do work for those customers, and it's kind of like a network of these businesses.
Okay.
And this is where people can find all of these businesses and submit requests for work, you know.
Okay.
And get rebates. All right. So, okay, fine. You got customers register, you got the businesses register. You put in the details of a job, the job gets approved, the job is marked as complete. Your rebate gets processed, and you know, I mean, it's nothing.
Okay,
there's nothing to it. But they built it in .NET. It is like, there is so much code. There is probably 10,000 lines of code.
That's insane.
It is insane. There's probably 10,000 lines of code. They probably charge this guy gobs of money for this website. I can only guess. Because so much work went into it.
Mm.
Okay? And what ends up happening is it's basically the .NET training ground for people who are doing work. I think that the guy who runs the company is a .NET believer.
Okay.
Okay. Or he is convinced that .NET is the way you build websites for business.
Okay.
But it's just such unbelievable overkill the way they did it. either that or they used Visual Studio, and Visual Studio
built
the living shit out of it without them really even trying.
That I wouldn't doubt. I mean,
it's kind of like when you publish a web page out of Word. There's an insane amount of code in there.
Yeah. Well, it's like if you built anything out of VB, you end up with a huge padded code base because it just dumps a bunch of extra crap in there.
Well, the thing about it is like, I mean, but they're using things. They're using, like, stored procedures in the database, you know, and all kinds of stuff. And it's like, just stuff you just don't need. I mean, you could just have...
Well, I mean, honestly, though, I can't think of an off-the-shelf, you know, package that would do both the user and vendor.
Yeah, but it's not... We're not talking about a big deal here. We're talking about when you register as a vendor... You know, we're talking about name, email, a little bit of information about your company. That's it.
Hmm.
You know, that nothing.
So it doesn't do matching or anything like that. I mean,
no. I mean,
it doesn't.
It doesn't do shit. It has a little admin, you know, back end that they built for it too. I'm just saying. And basically, I was talking to you know the person who is the rep, you know, and I said. This is insane. I want to put my fist through the... Who built this? I want to kill them. And they're like, yeah, well, you're the third developer who has said that to me. This has been going on. It just gets handed off from developer to developer to developer so they can learn about you know how .NET works. And I see how it works, and I think it's totally fucking unnecessary.
All right, well...
You know, it's, I mean, you can do everything. First of all, this whole website could have been built in classic ASP easily.
Okay.
And it could have been, fuck, this thing could be run off a frickin' Access database. Because, I mean, it's just not going to be hit that hard. I mean, an Access database can handle, you know, on a decent computer, can handle, you know, quite a few simultaneous users. You know. I mean, this thing isn't going to get hit by thousands and thousands and thousands of people every
That's
hour.
Fine. That's fine.
And it could have been written in classic ASP in about, you know, a week. And it would have been super easy to support, man. Super easy. Oh, well.
Unfortunately, the cost to redo everything is probably far more than the cost of
it would
maintaining
almost,
this
I would
thing.
Almost do it for free just to make myself happy. Except it would take me probably, you know, two or 3 weeks. But I'm saying like a halfway decent ASP or PHP developer could write this website in a couple of days, honestly.
Okay.
Of concerted effort. You know? I mean, PHP, my God, you can do anything. I mean, ASP and PHP, you can do whatever you want. You know, .NET is great. Okay, it has a lot of like built-in tools for things, you know, data grids and all the object, you know,
right.
tools that you have. But fuck, man. I mean, there's just so much. It's just so unnecessary, and it's driving me insane. And also, everything is so intricately interrelated and interdependent that to fix anything is a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Sorry.
Nightmare. And you know, I mean, we're dealing with like class constructors. I mean, they did classes for these things, you know, for a user.
You're right. It sounds like somebody was learning object-oriented programming and took this as the, you know, the salvo into .NET land and built a website.
It's a fucking nightmare.
Well, that's fine.
Sorry. I have no other way to describe it. It's a complete nightmare. But I am learning quite a bit about .NET, although I can't really get it to – I can't do anything with Visual Studio with it. I can't get it to do – I mean, I was trying to do breakpoints. I can't get it to run at all. I can't get it to compile. So I know that they've just been hacking away at it with a text editor. It doesn't even compile.
Yeah, I don't know enough about the.
But it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy.
On a live website,
it's written in C sharp.
Right. Well,
okay.
.NET language.
Yeah, I mean, written in C sharp. But you've got like, it's so opaque when you look at the code. You know, it's so hard to make heads or tails of it. You know. And you got to define, they define like every screen element in this like code page, but then it's like you define them all back here and you use them all up here and you know, it just seems so unnecessary. I mean, I can understand why it would be necessary on a for a more grand development, you know, initiative.
Who knows?
But this is so tiny. I mean, I went, you know.
Maybe
I mean,
they
it's
didn't
just so tiny.
You know, maybe they had delusions of grandeur.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely.
So maybe they did overbuild it on purpose.
Oh, they,
who knows?
They overbuilt it because they made a decision that, you know, I don't know what they were thinking. They probably sold the guy, you know, like we're gonna make this, you know, this is the future. .net, this is it, you know. I don't know.
We don't know anything about technology for technology's point.
I don't know. So you want to talk about Wurzel?
Well, I mean, we should at least comment on what he was trying to accomplish, and you know, I haven't heard if he's made any decisions. I think it's probably too soon, really.
I can't even remember what the stupid thing was. Okay, hold
he
on
wanted
a second.
He wanted a gaming laptop.
Oh, right. Okay, so what did you tell him? Is he going to have to spend $2,500 or something?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I gave him the straight deal, which is, you know, I wasn't feeling very well at the time, so I probably was a little bit rough or whatever, but I'm like, you can't ask for a cheap gaming laptop. The words are mutually exclusive. In case you are wondering what a Muslim pussy looks like, I'm afraid at this point. And the picture of a Persian cat in, what do they call that? The
kafia.
Kafia, yeah, with a ring of dynamite.
Well, it looks like toilet paper rolls painted red.
Yes. I'm actually kind of hoping that cat is about to be blown up.
Why?
Because I don't like cats.
Oh, well, I don't really like them either. So, I mean, why are we even talking about a gaming laptop?
So, Wurzel decided that his old computer, his desktop, is crapping out. It's not. He had those intermittent video problems. We talked on the Balance Show maybe like 3 or 4 months ago or something like that.
Okay.
And he's therefore in the market for another new computer. He's decided that he wanted a laptop.
Okay.
He wanted said laptop to be able to play games, though, because that's, you know, one of the things that he wants to be able to do.
No big deal?
That is kind of a big deal. Laptops are not generally, you know, first-person 3D rendering engines or rendering powerhouses for gaming.
What games does he want to play?
Well, he didn't include that in his original questions. So the points, at the end, it comes out that he just wants to be able to play, like, World of Warcraft, that kind of thing.
Can't you do that on a laptop?
And you can do that on a laptop. Even Dr. J had weighed in on that.
I mean,
it's not ideal.
What's out there? Like, something from, you know, Alienware or some shit?
Exactly. Now, the point is that for even, you know, mediocre performance, he's going to need something that costs about $2,500, and his budget was $1,000. So, you know, at a 250%, well, you know, markup.
Is disk speed even a factor here with a game? I mean, you load the game and that's it, right?
No, it's the 3D engine, it's 3D rendering.
So you're supposed to have these dual.
You don't need dual, but you need a graphics processing unit that supports all of the, you know, major procedures in hardware. So, you know, shading, dynamic shaders, bump mapping, you know, all kinds of DirectX 9 feature list, you know, plus. And the problem is that many laptops have integrated graphics and it doesn't support all that stuff, or it supports it in software.
Well, what about this? This D900C here from MTech Laptops. Now with RAID, the most extreme gaming laptop made today. Quad-core CPU, 17-inch LCD, 8800 GTX with SLI dual video with a gig of DDR3 video RAM.
Amazing, isn't it? In a laptop. And how much does it cost?
And how much does it cost? Ladies and germs.
You too can have
let's
this.
Let's see. It has a SATA 2 hard drive, obviously. Or a solid state
or
hard drive if you want. Right. Which I read a review of the 128 gigabyte
SSD.
Solid state
SSD
drive.
SSD.
SSD. And it performs extremely well when reading.
Yes.
It performs extremely badly
when writing.
When writing.
Well, yeah, they've been saying that since the beginning of this stuff. So. The simple fact of the matter is when you use your computer,
basically
80% of the time you're reading anyway.
Well, let me tell you, the ideal application for solid-state drives is a web server.
If you store the logs and such on a different, you know, drive, yeah.
I mean, logs are, that's nothing.
No, back to, I mean, for a heavily trafficked website, logs and log management are that's
okay,
serious
so maybe, issues. Well, maybe you shoot the logs off, you know, over a network somewhere or something.
All right.
Quad-core CPU, 2 NVIDIA 880M GTX video cards.
Yeah, yeah, have you gotten to the price?
880 megahertz DDR2 RAM, 1,000... What?
What is the price?
3 hard drives is in it.
What is the price?
Blu-ray optical drive.
And how much?
$3,500.
Yeah. So Tim wanted it for $1,000, and I said that was impossible.
Oh. Well, let's see. We can custom build one. Maybe we can get it down to $1,000.
No.
Without a screen.
Listen. All right. So I was really not having a lot to do at home being sick anyway. So I went looking around for gaming laptops at that price point, and I went looking around for benchmarks of said laptops that, you know, included some kind of 3D benchmark so that I could figure out if he was actually going to be able to play World of Warcraft reasonably or not. The end result being that at that price point it was going to be impossible. So I told him he would be better off either rebuilding his HP or Dell or whatever that is with you know, parts, and gave him my Newegg shopping list that the machine I just built last fall.
All right, hold on. You just stop right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have a laptop spec'd out here at 1680.
Okay.
Okay. 17-inch WSXGA glass view with NVIDIA GeForce 8700M GT with 512 megabytes of DDR3 video RAM.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How is that? Is that any good?
That may be enough to run WoW adequately.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Core 2 Duo.
We need to find benchmarks.
Core 2 Duo, a gig of RAM. It's not going to be enough, is it?
No. The video card's going to be sharing system memory, so 2 gigs of RAM would be better.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Anyway,
why don't you shut up?
The point was, and even Dr. J weighed in, he's like, no, because he used to play WoW.
Yeah.
He doesn't anymore. And said, you know, it just doesn't make sense. You're going to end up spending, you know, two and a half times as much on a laptop, and you can build yourself a targeted gaming computer and still buy yourself a reasonable laptop for less overall than one gaming laptop. And I think the thing that clinches it for me is that laptops are not upgradable.
Well, not easily. I mean, you can upgrade a hard drive. You can upgrade RAM.
That's about it. Yeah, you can't upgrade the video card, which is, you know, makes it a throwaway, you know, item as far as gaming is concerned. It's just the way it is. I mean, you know.
Well, so I don't. I mean, look, if he's really serious about gaming, you know.
Well, yeah. So
clearly, he should not be gaming on a laptop,
right?
I mean, even people who go to LAN parties bring shuttle or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Or case with a handle on top.
So I think what he decided that he's going to do is possibly rebuild or build from scratch a desktop, and you know, space out the budget for a more targeted laptop. I mean, you could get a sub-notebook like what you got sitting in front of us here for, you know, a few hundred, $500 or something like that.
I got
nowadays.
This for $200 on eBay.
Yeah. You know, so if all you need is a laptop.
It had a gig of RAM in it.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's great.
But this was before, like, you know, this was when having a gig of RAM on a laptop was like, damn.
True enough. Damn. True enough.
By the way, the battery is about to run out on this laptop. When it does, show's over.
Oh. How come you don't have a power doohickey for it?
I do. It's just, you know, plugged into the docking station over there. And I got a piece of flair. A USB sound card. Because the sound card is dead. Gone. Not even in the device manager anymore.
What's the brand on your USB sound card?
That would be
is that a Korean?
Random Chinese Hong Kong bullshit from eBay.
Okay.
That came in I'm pretty sure it's just covered in SARS or something. I mean, it's like, I mean, yeah. This thing is shipped from Hong Kong, dude. It comes in a paper wrapped package that's also tied with twine. And a bunch of stamps on it with these crazy symbols.
So it's like a knockoff.
Well, no, I mean, you know what it is? Is it's not a knockoff. Here's what it is.
It's a copy.
It's not a copy. Listen. It's like this. They built 100,000 of them for Logitech.
Sure.
And then they're like, all right, let's make 50,000 more and sell them no name on eBay. Kind of like, you know, non-designer jeans or sneakers.
Isn't that kind of what a knockoff is?
Oh. But see, to me, a knockoff is when you take an existing product and you build an emulation. To me, I think this is a real product that they just simply is unbranded.
It's a knockoff.
Fuck you,
dude.
You're right. I don't know what it is, but it works. It works.
I believe
you. Not brilliantly, but it works.
I mean, it's not like you're running orchestral maneuvers over here out of your laptop.
Oh, I could run OMD off that fucking sound card.
I didn't.
You want me to plug this thing in there? I'll fucking show you. You want to see?
No.
So I'll fucking do it.
I believe you.
I'll do that shit. I'll fire up some OMD. So we just watched Pretty in Pink. This is the fourth time I've had to say that to someone. I just watched Pretty in Pink with my wife because she was feeling sick. She's like, so we watched Pretty in Pink. And, you know, OMD.
If you leave, please don't have one single day.
Fucking bullshit. That movie sucks.
I want to say that movie probably sucks. A Elvis impersonation of OMD. That's kind of what it sounded
if
like.
If you leave, don't look back.
You know, I'm sure that would have been a great Elvis song if he would have sang it. If he was alive today, if he was alive in 1986 or whatever, maybe he would have done a version of If You Leave. Or was that the name of the song? If You Leave?
I don't know.
If You Leave.
Isn't that the name of the song?
So you don't like Pretty in Pink?
I think it's a bad movie. I think it's a bad movie. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a bad movie.
Is it only a bad movie because you've been forced to watch it a few times, or is it only a bad movie in your 30s and it wasn't when you saw it?
It's called If You Leave, and it reached number 4 on the Billboard U.S. Hot 100
with Casey Kasem.
So anyway, basically
that was a huge song in the 80s.
Yeah, it was a big song, popular movie. Yeah. John Hughes wrote it, didn't direct it. But he wrote it.
Right.
Molly Ringwald. Big star. Harry Dean Stanton.
I didn't know that.
Andrew McCarthy. James Spader.
I knew about... Well,
John Cryer.
Right.
Of course, no one really knew who he was.
Not yet.
No one really knew who James Spader was either. This made careers for some people.
Yeah,
nope.
The Hughes launched...
Andrew McCarthy wasn't anything yet, I don't think. Molly Ringwald was the big star. Harry Dean Stanton had been around, I think. Annie Potts... Who played her friend who ran the music store? I don't know if she had done much before that. I can't really think of anything offhand, but no one heard of James Spader, I don't think.
Not at that point.
And I don't think, you know, Andrew McCarthy had done much. So, you know, it made a few careers, started quite a few careers. I mean, Andrew McCarthy fell off the face of the earth. Well, no, he didn't. He did Weekend at Bernie's, and then he fell off the face of the earth.
Reasonable.
Right.
I think the summary we
James
can say
Spader,
is that
though, is,
Hughes launched careers.
Yeah, well, James, you know, Molly Ringwald, though, is done. has been for a while. She could make one of these, you know, John Travolta-like comebacks.
You know, I had always read stuff about her that she decided to leave the American markets and, you know, was fairly well-respected overseas.
All right, maybe. But she could make a Travolta-like, you know, comeback in the right role. And
I don't think Andrew McCarthy...
We have no need for Andrew McCarthy. So. No. There's, you know, James Spader still... we're always going to need that kind of, you know, erudite kind of a-hole, pricky kind of guy.
Wait, we're digging up all kinds of fun words.
You know, Annie Potts. You can always use Annie Potts to play, like, you know, countrified kind of, you know, character or kooky. Older woman now, you know. Mm-hmm. John Cryer, obviously, has a thriving career. He's on My Two Dads. Three and a Half Men. Two and a Half Men.
No, he isn't.
John Cryer?
Yeah.
He's the co-star with Charlie Sheen? Yeah. Yeah, John Cryer.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Positive?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyway, I'm talking to this lady today about Pretty in Pink because she brought up something that I ended up talking about Pretty in Pink. It's the second time today. Are you... Fuck you, pal. Look it up.
I'm looking it up. Keep talking. I'm listening to you.
Go ahead. You don't believe me?
I don't believe you.
Fuck you.
Fuck you.
So this motherfucker, this girl is talking about, oh my God, I love Ducky, which is John Cryer's character. I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. Okay, you do not love Ducky. You would have, you know, you'd want to be friends with him, but you wouldn't have fucked him. And that's all he really wanted was someone to fuck him. You know, someone that he liked to fuck him. But you know what? In the end, he saw this totally hot blonde chick, wanted to fuck him, and he said, okay, let's do it. That's my screed.
But
you know, Ducky's an asshole. And Ducky was an asshole throughout the movie, and he was, you know what? My problem is he reminded me too much of me falling in love with girls that were out of my league and weren't interested in me. Well, actually, luckily, Dory, I think, was out of my league also, but I guess she liked me. So I got
the diamond in the rough.
I got lucky. Yes.
Exactly.
Diamond in the... See, you know what I used to think about a diamond in the rough was that... I used to think of that in the same sense that it meant the same thing as needle in a haystack. But I realize now it's like a diamond that hasn't been, like, cut and polished.
Right.
So there you go. Do we have any other dorktacular subject matter? I mean, I said my piece of flair there. What else we got? Anything else interesting happening? Did I tell you about the server I bought for a client? With dual quad core Xeons?
Harry Dean Stanton's been on Two and a Half Men.
Well, is John Cryer not the friggin' star?
John Cryer is yes, the co-star with Charlie Sheen.
Well, what do I get? What do you owe me? We should have put a bet down. That would have been easy money.
Would have been, but you didn't.
Easy money. I'm a fool.
Fool.
So,
idiot.
Did I tell you about the server I put together?
No.
With dual quad-core Xeons?
Why?
Why not? Dual quad... Because it's going to be running about 8 terminal services sessions.
Oh, well, all right. That's reasonable.
Got 8 gigs of RAM.
Probably should have stuck a little bit more in there if you could have.
The RAM's really expensive. It's very expensive.
Is it error corrected?
Yeah.
Oh, it's easy. Okay.
It's really, really expensive stuff.
Okay.
I'll wait for that price to come down, and then we can increase. We can go as much as we want because it's running a Windows 2003 server 64-bit.
Oh, nice.
So it can use all that RAM.
Yeah, nice.
It's got 446 gigabyte 15K drives running in RAID 10.
Four drives in RAID 1+0. Oh, okay, yeah.
So stripe mirror.
Right.
Fast.
No. Mirrored stripe.
What? What's the difference? Aren't we talking about the same thing?
No.
We've got two.
You have two.
You've got two drives in stripe. Or right. Stripe, or yeah, yeah, Stripe. So that all the heads are
you have two drives Stripe,
and another and two drives over
that are mirrored.
And they're mirroring each
yes.
other.
Yes, so that's the difference.
Stripe
they're,
mirror.
They're a pair of Stripe sets.
Yeah.
If you do it the other way around, it'd be mirrored disks that are all being striped.
No,
that's the I'm saying that's not what's going on in this case.
You can
say
that?
That's the other way. Yes.
Why would you do that?
It's a different way of organizing for RAID redundancy.
You're crazy.
It's one, you're doing 1 plus 0.
You've gone mad.
The other way is 0 plus 1.
Gone
you can
mad.
Do either
well,
way.
Anyway, this thing anyway. Absolutely flies.
I believe it.
It fucking flies, dude. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's so fast. I just feel so bad for the client because we haven't migrated him off his other server yet.
Why not?
Because his business can't take a day off right now. So I just can't do it, you know? I can't. He's got all these interconnected things. He's got all these little interconnected things to make sure all his orders get into QuickBooks.
Which makes sense. If that's the way it is, that's the way it is.
So I'm just basically, I said, look, on the 19th, Frankie starts daycare 3 days a week. I can come here for a whole day, and we'll just do it. You said, bite the fucking bullet, and we'll do it. Just don't process the orders, okay? You want to take orders, take them, but don't process them. All
right? Right.
Write them down.
Cue them up.
Cue them up on paper, and, you know.
Let us
do our thing. You have to do this. And it is so hard to convince him to do that and to not answer the phones himself, you know. Very, very difficult. You know, and that's what goes into running your own business.
Yeah. It is what it is.
In Russia, what? Business runs you.
Who did that? Who was
Yakov Smirnov?
Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a really, really, really.
Why don't you just migrate them on a weekend or something?
It's a sweet machine. And then when I set it all up, I'm like, fuck, man, it doesn't have a sound card. And they want sound for their remote desktop sessions. So I put one of those in it.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding, and it works perfectly. It's not even hooked up to speakers.
Because USB is shared or can be shared across. I mean,
it's just the sound gets processed through it.
Yeah, yeah. That's fucked up.
Works like a charm.
It didn't even have AC97 sound on the motherboard.
Servers, a lot of servers don't come with sound. They just don't.
It's got, I mean.
You can order one. It would be an add-on PCI card.
That's amazing.
Most servers don't come with sound. A true server chassis won't have sound on the motherboard. They won't. They may not have video either.
Well, everything, even the servers, will have video.
You're right.
Because console.
I just wanted to freak you out. Yeah,
no, I wasn't buying that one. Nice try, though.
I want to freak you out, man.
I'm not even sure I believe the sound thing. Like, maybe it was just disabled in BIOS or something like that, but it's usually part of the Southbridge chip, so it's no expense to have it in there.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Of course I do. And actually, that was one of the things I wanted to talk about today, because AMD released their...
AMD's in big trouble.
I don't think so.
They released their quad-core chip, and it still can't hang with the Intel quad-core chip. Intel's putting out 100,000 processors a day at 45 nanometers. AMD isn't even at 45 nanometers yet. And Intel's probably working on 22 nanometer or whatever. Although I read an interesting article today about the AMD. Did you have something to say? But before we do, I read an article.
Before I do, though.
There's a guy over at AMD who thinks that these multi-core processors should not have multiple cores that all do the same thing in parallel. They should have multiple cores that do different things in parallel. So this over here does, you know, floating point. You know, I'm it talking was, my it, ass now, yeah. But like floating point calculations. And this, you know,
it was whatever. A very interesting article to read about the what the future of multi-core architectures should be.
Yeah, but Dell has dropped AMD, I'm told, from their product line.
What?
I believe that is the case.
I don't think we should spread malicious rumors.
I believe that is the case.
Yeah, I doubt that.
No?
No.
Well, fuck, Dell should just buy AMD.
I don't know. Dell was in money troubles for a while there, too, so I don't know.
They still are.
Yeah. All right.
Michael had to come out of retirement or whatever.
That dude's got money.
You think?
Regardless.
Yes.
I don't think AMD is, in the black waters as you claim. But here's the point.
They're in big trouble.
Here's the point. The future of multi-core architectures will be interesting because what he's saying is that having multiple homogeneous cores,
right, that's it,
is not as efficient and is harder to, is not capable of reaching the same kind of performance heights that something with heterogeneous cores.
Heterogeneous?
Yeah. Homogeneous? Like heterogeneous?
No.
Yeah.
Heterogeneous.
Hit the goddamn pronunciation.
Well,
website.
I'm almost out of battery, but I'll go for it.
All right, we'll give it a try.
Define. Shit. Fuck. Cock.
The point is that, yeah, it seems like that would be the way to go to reap the most benefit. Processors that do one thing
heterogeneous.
Heterogeneous.
I don't even think that's how it's spelled.
Heterogeneous. It's spelled that way. It's the same way.
Just heterogeneous.
Like, yes.
Heterogeneous. Having its source or origin outside the organism. Not homogeneous.
Exactly. Homogeneous.
That's heterogeneous.
It's the same fucking word.
It's homogeneous. I think
it's homogenized.
Heterogeneous.
It's not homogenized.
I think it's heterogeneous. I think you're a fucking asshole.
I think you're on crack.
I am.
What
on crack.
Are you, the word Nazi tonight?
Just ask Dory if I'm a word Nazi.
You're the etymologist. The etymologist?
The linguist? I'm the cunning linguist?
Irv the etymologist?
One is a cunning linguist?
Well, you did have Turkish.
One is a...
And Lebanese.
One is a cunning...
So
one is a cunning runt?
It's possible.
A clever... Difference between clever, a clever dwarf and a female track star. Or Marion Jones, let's say.
That's terrible.
One is a cunning runt.
Yes.
See my impression of a woman running the hurdles?
No.
You ever seen that? Okay.
No, I don't want to see this. That's just scary, dude. Ladies and gentlemen of the listening audience,
well, what we'll have to do is we'll have to film that and put it on YouTube.
We need to start doing video podcasts.
I don't know about that.
Live from Irv's basement.
So can we all agree that
that it's heterogeneous?
Can we all agree that
homogeneous?
Russ has a significant challenge ahead of him if he wants to fit into a normal sized tuxedo.
I didn't know that was a stated goal.
It doesn't appear to be.
Oh well,
the dude is huge, man.
I don't know that he's. I mean, he's not gotten any bigger or smaller since when I.
He's much bigger.
Really?
I think so.
Well,
first of all, let's look at the facts. Kim is a phenomenal cook.
Okay. I don't know that I've really ever, sampled the dinners.
And it, last time I saw him was at Oscar night, so it's middle of winter.
Uh-huh.
And you usually, hard to get out and jog or whatever.
We all put on the winter, 5 or 10 or 15, whatever.
Telling you, looks humongous.
Okay. I didn't notice,
But that's what you get when you don't show up for the show or even respond
exactly
to the email.
Right.
And Drew is just,
that dude's that dude, you could probably roll.
I'm not talking about his weight. I'm saying, is he ever going to do another show?
Well, he doesn't seem to.
Did we do something to offend him?
I think we must have.
But he's not the type of guy who would ever talk about it.
He seems to talk to Tim Wurzel, though. And how the hell does,
But he's every Tuesday, it's like, we've got clients in and I have to go get drunk with them. I'm like, what? Dude. Come on.
Dude.
So, Russ at least, Russ has been to more shows lately than Drew.
That's true.
And that's not a lot of shows.
That's a sad state of affairs.
I haven't heard from
course, Danny in a little while. The master Googler hasn't been down and around in a while either.
Schmitty is...
Well, he's got his new kid.
Well, he's got a problem. But before he had the new kid, he plays poker every Thursday night.
Right.
Today every Thursday night. So it's like to go out twice a week is a lot to ask from the wife. So he's basically like, he's like, you come play poker, or I'll come do the show. I'm like, look, I love you guys, but I don't want to drive to Copley.
Oh, is that where the poker game
and
is?
And play poker till 2 a.m. or whatever the fuck. I usually don't, I don't seem to get home before 1:30 when I go play. I don't know how they do that every week.
Dude.
Every week.
We're getting old. I can't even do that, and I don't have a wife.
All right. Well, now we're just... When's this thing going to die?
It's not.
It's been on 0% for the last 10 minutes.
That's a good battery.
No, it's a bad battery...
It's a bad meter. Monitor.
Bad meter.
Bad meter.
Bad meter. Okay, so here you go. Morta. Here you go. Somebody called me. Speaking of... somebody called me today about a tech issue. They wanted my advice. They wanted me to do a sanity check.
Called you or
a colleague.
A colleague, okay.
He wanted a sanity check. And I was happy to oblige.
Excellent.
So here's the situation. You had a law firm.
Okay.
They wired law firm, client server.
Yeah.
IP phones.
Okay.
Wired every office with a single wire to a wall mounted hub.
That was dumb, but okay.
it's like there's like four ports.
Right, I understand.
But there's one wire.
Right, I understand.
And maybe it's PoE or something. I don't even know.
Okay.
Maybe it's these like 3Com, you know. I don't know.
Okay.
So everything's on the same network, obviously.
Obviously.
Well, the law firm has split into two, amicable.
Okay.
They're going to share the office.
Nice.
They're going to share the internet connection.
They're
going to share the phones.
Uh-huh.
Ah.
Oh, the show.
It died.
0% becomes 0%.
Okay. They want to share the phones.
Yeah.
They want to share
the internet.
The internet.
Right.
They want two separate, like, data networks, okay? So that, actually, they don't really care necessarily if they have to share the internet or not, but they want, you know, two separate things so that they can have their, you know, well, because they were running off of a small business server. Okay, and now the new law firm is like, well, we want that.
Right.
So now you have two mail servers, two web servers.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That's just a bad idea.
Got one wire to everywhere, and the receptionist has to be on both networks.
Give her two computers.
Well, okay, so I thought about this.
Okay.
The IT staff there.
Yeah.
Okay. Says, oh, we just need a couple of switches and we can do this no problem.
Okay.
And I'm like, what are you talking about?
How many drops are we talking here? How many?
30.
30? So is it...
They're not going to pull new wire.
No, I understand that. Is basically 15's going to one half and 15's going to the other half?
Something like that.
Okay, well, separate the patch panel and, yeah, put them into two different switches.
Yeah.
Connect them both up to the same, internet access.
Mm-hmm.
Drop in DHCP inside of the network instead of off of the internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
So separate DHCP for each side, and just drop the servers on both sides as well.
How do they share the internet connection without like their DHCP servers, for instance, balancing into each other?
Well, that's what I mean. You've got to put the DHCP this side of the.
Well, what they need is probably perhaps. Okay, like, for instance, if they had, like my other client with the Netopia and the PIX or something like that, you could, let's say, you know, you could translate one live address to a certain PC on some subnet.
Right.
You could translate another to another PC on another
Agreed.
Subnet.
Absolutely.
But you still, you know, they also want to be segregated from one another for security purposes.
Well, that's what I mean. Two switches. You split the patch panel into two logical sides. Connect one patch panel up to one switch and another patch panel up to the other switch, and then
what?
And then run the network services at that level, and then you're going to have to do similar to this Netopia thing to get them into the internet access. I don't know what you do with the phone though, because I'm not really sure how that works.
The phone. What do you do with the phone? I think the rub. Is they're going to stay on the phone?
Yeah.
They're going to have the same receptionist.
If they've only got one of those devices.
But the phone can take, you know, multiple phone numbers. So it's like one, you know, one law firm have this phone number, one, you know, have that phone number. That's no problem.
Yeah, see, I don't know how that.
Here's what I was thinking. Let me tell you what I was thinking. I think the best way to do this would be get a halfway, you know, look, you get a halfway decent router with, you know, the kind of...
You just need one that's dual-homed.
Some kind of decent, like, maybe a dual-homed router or one of these, like, firewalls or something that can, you know, handle these. And then you just have two distinct wireless networks for data. So you take the PCs off of
the
wired, and just leave the phones on the wire, and then you go to wireless with all the PCs, and then you can have the ones in one company are on to this access point, and one go to that.
How do you make sure that everybody's who joins a wire?
Well, then I said, and then I was like, fuck it, just get two DSL lines. That's it. You get two DSL lines each. You have your own internet connection.
It's the phone is the rub in that situation, which we already just
decided. If we do wireless, though.
But how are you going to make sure that a given laptop picks up one wireless network instead of the other one?
Well, because you won't give the key to the other firm.
I see what you're saying.
So effectively, they're locked out.
I see what you're saying.
So you do like WPA2.
Right, right.
You know, and you just buy USB cards for all the desktops.
Right.
And that's it. Yeah. Cheap. Done. You're done in a day.
Reasonable.
I think you're talking about VLANs and...
No, I wouldn't recommend doing that. I think, you know. But yeah.
The phones make it really, really difficult.
The phones do. I agree.
Because then you can't segregate. Because remember, we've got one cable to eat. So this wasn't a tech down. This was more of a...
This is what you can do.
More of a tech what?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
How are they going to split the bills? I think you're right. It'd be easier if they just duplicated the shit.
Yeah, if they each get your static account.
And how much is it to, you know, buy another one of these VoIP set or, you know?
No. They don't want to do that. It's all set up. Here was the last question I had. The last question I had was, can you be multi-homed wireless for the receptionist? Can she have two wireless cards in her PC and be on both networks?
She doesn't need to have two wireless cards.
She doesn't, I know, because we could have one be in the phone network. One of them could be hardwired also, so that she could plug into one and be wireless to the other.
Windows, you've been able to add alternate IP addresses to Windows.
But you can't connect the two access points at the same time with one wireless card.
Why not?
You can't.
I've never tried.
You can't.
How do you know?
Because you have to pick one. You can't be. You have to have two wireless. I have to test that. I want to test that. Can I be multi-homed with two different wireless cards?
I don't. Probably. I don't see any reason why not.
Yeah, why not, right?
But you're going to end up...
you just run into these, like, the wireless utility, the configuration utilities can maybe step on each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what I'm not sure about.
Well, that or...
They're not going to listen to me anyway because they've been sold by, like, their internal IT staff that this is going to take, like, an hour and they just need to buy, like, $100 worth of stuff and that's it.
Well, if it worked, if the internal IT people make it
work...
They're
wrong.
Then... Ah! I mean, I'd be curious to find out if they're able to do it.
They're wrong.
However they say
can't
they're
do,
gonna
it.
Do it.
They can't do it.
Well, I'm just curious. That's all.
They can't. They just can't. And fuck them.
That's fine. Huh? You know, whatever.
But the other problem is that, you know, you get into a situation where you really got to leave the phone thing alone because that works on, like, broadcast packets. And that doesn't work well with VLANs and bullshit like that. And I just, you know. I just don't know how you're gonna segregate. I said maybe you could do it with like layer 3 switches that could filter out a range of IP addresses. So you give this group of computers, you know, .2.x and this .1.x, and you tell the switch over here, don't listen to any traffic from .2.x.
I mean, yeah, you could do it static IPs.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know. And then how are you going to have two DHCP servers? They got to be segregated.
That's what I mean.
They got to be segregated.
If you went to static IPs, you wouldn't have to do that. Because you don't have...
Yeah, but then static IPs are a nightmare to manage.
It's only, you know, 30 computers at most.
Not desirable, pal.
Whatever.
All right, we got to wrap this shit up.
Yeah, agreed.
Go home.
Okay.
I love you, buddy. Thank you, no one, for listening.
A very good show. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, no one, for listening.
Thank you, no one.
Thank you, nobody, for downloading. And we will try again next week to see what happens. Visit us at dial-a-dork.com. Email us at dorks@dial-a-dork.com. Buy a t-shirt at cafepress.com/dialadork. No hyphens.
I propose that if we are the dynamic duo again next week, that we go through some clips and.
Well, maybe what we'll do is we'll try to do what we should do is what was it Tim or Shane? I don't remember who suggested it. Do the radio show. That means no cursing, and it's got to be like structured. And maybe we have to break for commercials or something.
Well, but I also think that we should try to go through some clips or something like that. Build up our.
Yeah, I just don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I think about it every day, and I just don't do anything about it. So I don't know. I'm depressed. I'm depressed.
We'll take a little bit of time. We don't need to take the whole show.
We don't need to. We shouldn't be using the show for that purpose.
So what?
We should be doing it outside of the show.
We should
care enough to get together outside of the show.
You know,
work on the show if we give a damn.
I'm happy to dedicate another.
I mean, how much
night?
Disposable income do we have? Do we want to try to get back on ERE? Can we spend a couple $100 a month each to do that?
I could.
A car payment?
No, I mean I can't. I'm not spending $500 a
month.
No,
I mean if it was like $100, $150-ish. It was like let's say we talk to Bill Glover and we get like $100 an hour. And we do, a show once a week, just because we should. That would be like $400 or $500 a month, depending on how the month goes.
So if it was just me and you, it'd be $250 a piece.
$200 to $250 a piece. Of course, the thing is, if we're back on the radio, we would basically be very firm with the other cast members. Like, look, we're going to go back on the radio. You're either in or you're out, and if you're in, you have to
show up.
You have to show up, and you have to pay.
Yeah,
and we could just go on a rotation. Like, I'll pay for this show, you pay for the next show, you pay for the next show, next show, on and on and on and on.
If I'm fine with that, I can put aside that cash to do that. It's got to be, we've got to have 4 people at the minimum, because. I can't imagine that Yoko's going to be available to do the phones and stuff for us, so we're going to need to
do... Not with Frankie.
Not with Frankie, exactly, so we're going to need to cover that ourselves.
You know, the only way is if... Well, right, you're right. So, I mean, someone else, you know, the engineer or whatever is going to have to cover the phones, which they're trained to do anyway.
They do that anyway? All right, well, so we could get away with me and you. I'm not wild about $250 a piece. You know, to be on the air.
But hopefully that would be a driving force to get us to, you know, start pounding the pavement a little bit and looking for sponsors or looking for a radio station that instead of us paying them for the airtime would pay us. Or even if they didn't pay us or barely paid us, they would be.
If they covered
the
airtime.
They'd be out looking for sponsors. And they have their whole production, apparatus in place. So, you know, looking for
sure
advertisers, producing all the little things that you need for the show, little effects and doing all, you know, all the shit. Advertising the show, marketing the show. There's still no, as far as I know, no one's doing anything quite like it in town, so.
I mean, I'm willing to put in the extra, you know,
night
I'm going
I'll talk to Bill, but, you know. I still want to, I don't know why, but I feel I want to talk to Aaron Goldhammer, who is the associate program director at WKNR. I know it's a sports station, but, I mean, now let me ask you this. Would you be willing to do the show, let's say once a week, from 2 to 5 in the morning?
Are you
on a Wednesday? I'm
two
not
to
kidding.
5 in the morning?
I'm not kidding around. Would you? If we didn't have to pay for it, if we were getting paid, it was a real honest to goodness show and we were getting paid.
2 to 5 in the morning?
I'm telling you, I'm just saying.
I know. I mean, I have a normal day job. I mean, you do too. How do you work Wednesday?
I'm just saying, it's an extreme example to find out what your level of dedication would be.
2 to 5 in the morning, no. 4 to 6, maybe I could swing.
I'm trying to tell you that you're asking someone to take a chance on non-professional,
I understand
highly
that.
Unprofessional.
I wouldn't say highly unprofessional.
I would.
Poppy has to be allowed to come to the studio.
You know what? I don't want Poppy to go. Do you want Poppy?
No.
You want to take her?
No.
Take her.
No.
Anyway, all right. That wraps up the show. Food for thought. I'm glad to know that you'd be in it.
I still think we should take a few minutes out of our normal show. Or, you know, if you want to do this twice a week or one extra time a month to pick out clips, I think we should at least do that.
What we should be doing is a regimen of show listening. So, you know,
that's what I'm
once
saying.
A week,
just...
each of us should be listening to a show. It doesn't have to be the same show. And you have to just pick out the 5 best minutes of the show. 5 best 1-minute segments of the show, whatever. And we have to make a spreadsheet of this and go through and weed it all down until we have really what we consider like the 10 or 15 best minutes of the show, so we could show that to someone and say, look, this is what we're capable of. Real, you know, old-time comedy, radio, good-time stuff. Like
good, clean fun with
good,
no
clean
swearing.
Fun with no swearing.
No cunnilinguists.
Christ.
Hopeless.
All right.
Jesus. Okay, we're out.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.
You get all those pimps together, it was live.